If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us the way you have blessed us. Thank you for changing the showbread on Sabbath like you have promised to do each and every Sabbath all throughout eternity. Thank you for keeping us on the path, blessing us with the latter rain and the faith that moves the mountains, the courage to stand firm, the forgiveness of sin. And thank you for the spankings every now and then, too, that you send our way, the trials that help us to grow. Please bless everyone that's on the prayer list, especially those that we have shared truth with and planted seeds with. We thank you so much for watering the seeds. Thank you for letting us see it sometimes, right before our eyes being watered. And thank you for blessing us with your continued presence throughout this testimony service. Because it is here that we glorify you and let others know what you have done for us. Thank you so much for the way you love us. And we offer this prayer and these praises and these testimonies unto you in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, and amen, and amen. All right, Sister Vera, there's been, I don't know, maybe 20 or 30 times that I've mentioned Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1, on certain articles, statements, and maybe a few pages and stuff like that. But there is a study I did that took about 2.5-3 years. It's in the prophecy section of the web. Let me see. Let me just, I don't want to mess you up here. So it says, yeah, go to the prophecy section. Scroll down to where it says prophecy study tools. And the very first link is called Symbols of Revelation. If you print that out, it's a book that's 327 pages. Every symbol in the book of Revelation has been defined in that book that I did. Oh, I don't know how many years ago this was. But, 2008. 2008 is when I did this, because I got it right up there, copyright 2008. Each symbol that's in Isaiah 4, verse 1 has been defined. And this book could be a lot more than 327 pages, by the way, and I want to praise the Lord for that. But the reason it's not is because some of the prophetic symbols are defined so many times in the Scripture that when I show 3 or 4 repetitive definitions, I just put ETC at the end of it to let you know there could be dozens, sometimes hundreds of verses in the Bible that say the exact same thing about, like, forehead or furlong or lake or even night. I mean, there's just literally. And the way I got this page set up is, like, when you click it, like, say, for example, Michael. I just clicked on Michael. The definition is chief prince, your prince, great prince, archangel, Jesus Christ. And then underneath that, I show every Bible verse that touches on each one of those definitions. And so whenever there's a space, that means the next definition is now being defined. And every verse that defines the definitions, I underline in the verse where the definition is. That's why it took 2.5-3 years. Because I did this study every morning after my regular studies, and like I said, it took years to finish that. But I had to do it because I didn't want to mess up when it came to certain areas of the prophetic, because of what's happening in history or what's happening in our present day. So anyway, let's start with the testimonies. If anybody now, I've gotten a few testimonies from some of you. Well, I think one or two of you. And we had a few last night, because usually every Friday night when we gather, 9 o'clock Eastern time, by the way, we gather for, what do? We do a quick study, and then we do prayer, and then we do praises, and then we do another study. And we do that every Friday night, and then Mondays and Wednesdays, of course, and then Tuesdays, I think it's men gather, and then Thursdays the women gather. And I think there's a teen thing starting up soon too. But and if you want, if you need more rooms, just let me know. I could even build private rooms if you want. But and so last night we didn't do the praises because we knew we would be in here to do them today. And I'm going to read the ones that they've asked me to read. Oh, and Brother Eli just let me know that the teen gathering has already started, but I don't know what times it is. And so. And I haven't put it on the schedule page yet, nor have I put on the men's meetings or the women's meetings yet, because the schedule page shows the Monday, Wednesdays, and then the Sabbath, Friday night, Saturday during the day, and then, of course, the after-Sabbath meeting that we always have on today, like at 4 o'clock Central Time. Everybody comes back on Sabbath day, and they have another study. And so, but thanks, Eli. It's Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the teenagers when they come in here. And yes, there is a moderator or like a chaperone in the room. So everything's done up right. And if you want with the teenagers and anybody else, like if you've got under, say, you like when Sister Anais and when the Seventh-day Remnant Church in Florida does the children's study, which is also on the schedule, she does it on camera because of the new chat room now. And so if you guys, like on Thursdays, Mondays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, as long as you're under 50 users, I mean, we could have 600, I think, in here now. with strictly audio because of the way the Lord blessed us with, instead of having 3 gigs, we got, or 3 meg instead, we got now a 10 meg T1 now. We can handle, I think it's upwards of 50 families when you're using cameras. And it's, you know, because I think we had, because I knocked the, I don't know if you've noticed, Sister Ananias looks a little pixelated in the camera, just a tad bit, because the children's stories may be getting kind of heavy, 30, 35 people in there, or families. So, but anyway, like I said, I'm going to share some of these that have already been sent to me to share, that, you know, they've been written on. I got one from John, I got one from Stephen. I'll just tell you Stephen's right now. It was he said he had a praise. It was huge. It was a big unspoken praise for this evening. And yeah, you can do unspokens here too. We do that, unspoken prayer and praise. And then let me just share a few of these. And then if you have a praise, which quite often many do on this day, put up your hand. And the moderators, if you can run around, just because the software that we bought for this new chat room, they haven't done that feature that I asked for yet because they're having financial difficulties, and so there are no upgrades to the software unless we pay them to do the programming for us, and then they charge crazy prices. And I'm not kidding, crazy. $5,000 for these features and stuff, so forget it. We're not doing it. But what I'm talking about is, like, when someone puts up their hand, I want the feature to jump them to the top of the list like the old software used to do. You know, like if somebody way on the bottom, say like Yaswanth, he's on the bottom of the list, unless, of course, you count the guests that come in. But if he puts up his hand, boom, he'd jump up to the top of the list. That way everybody can know that he's next. It doesn't work that way now. So if you want to, you know, share a testimony, click where it says voice on and off, or hit the control button on your keyboard. Your hand will come up, and then whoever's on the mic will be alerted by a moderator or somebody, let them know someone's ready to speak. And then so you kind of keep your comments down to, you know, 3 to 5 minutes or something like that if you can. So anyway, this first praise is, I want to share this in regards to what happened. Most of you witnessed this, that were here a few weeks ago during a sermon. It was like a mini testimony that I was giving. Most of you are unaware of this. The previous few weeks had been extremely intense for me in regards to attacks on the ministry, attacks on me personally, and even physically. I was dealing with the toothache and stuff like that. All everything was hitting me from every direction you could think of, and you know, and it was just it was getting rough. But I was still praising his name because I says, okay, you've got something really heavy for me to do later, because why else would you be letting me lift these heavy weights? And so I prayed for a hug because I love the hugs that he sends every now and then, you know. And sometimes you get them when you least expect it, and I just think they're, you know. Anyway, so I prayed for a hug. And if some of you recall, right in the middle of the sermon, he gave me one. And you all know what happens when I get, when he does that to me. Because that happened back years ago when we had a bunch of baptisms here. And the Holy Spirit started moving. I can't talk when that happens. The tears are flown and you lose control, all right? Especially when it comes to your voice, because it doesn't seem to want to come out straight. It has these up and down movements. I got real shaky, I guess. And so not only did he do that, which was the answer to my prayer, but the following week that I was, that after that happened, for the following week, some of you, you know, called on the phone, some of you sent emails, some of you just walked up to me, you know, like, I don't know, the brunette in the other room, and said, the Lord had given you verses for me. And the hugs just kept coming all week long. And, I mean, these verses that the Lord was giving you to give to me, I want to thank you for being obedient. And you know, because we all have that. You'd be reading the Bible and says, oh, wow, that's for brother so-and-so, or oh, that's for sister so-and-so. And you give it to them, right? And say, hey, you know, I don't know what it means. I don't know if it's good news or bad news, but here. The Lord said, give this to you. And it was awesome. And I wanted to praise his name for that. But, by the way, there's something else you weren't aware of. that week was the 29-year anniversary of me meeting him. 29 years ago in March is when he changed my life. And that was awesome. And it was just, I didn't even realize it when all those attacks were coming and I was asking for that hug. I even forgot the time of year it was happening in. Because I always look forward to March every year because that's when I like to do a little bit of a spiritual backflip and say, hey, Father, another year, you know, but whatever. So that was a good week. Let's just put it that way. All right, so we got a hand up here, Brother Kevin. I got a few more that I want to share. But I'm going to let those of you that have something to share to please do so, like we do every time we do a testimony service. So let me shut off my mic, and I'll turn up the speakers so I can record this.
Blessings, everybody. Can you all hear me? Good. Praise the Lord.
It doesn't work.
First of all, I just want to basically invite anybody that has any kind of praise, it doesn't matter how big, small, that it may appear to you, it helps us all out to hear the praises of brethren. And so if you have anything to share, please raise up your hand. This past Sunday, I was backsliding on various things, tempting and going back and forth, and I read in Christ Object Lessons where basically Sister White talks about where God never fails. God never failed once, and Christ never failed once. I was on this earth and does not continue to this day. It was such a blessing for me because I've been making excuses for myself, making excuses in regards to diet, regards to entertainment, things that I did not want to let go, idols in my life. And the Lord had a little sit down with me and just let me know that Jesus doesn't fail. It's we that make our excuses and make our mistakes, especially me. So after a nice little sit down with him, I praise the Lord that for 4 out of the last 5 days I've been vegan. Not only that, eating better food. And cleaning up my diet, speaking better with brethren, not joking and jesting as much, watching every single word that comes out of my mouth. Because I want to be part of that number. And I don't want to make any excuses for myself anymore, and I want to get serious about my faith. You look around us and you see everything that's happening. We really don't have that much time. With the Pope announcing that he wants to make a address in Congress, which in my life has never happened, nor has it happened since. You hear this a lot in this church. You hear it from Brother Nick, Pastor Craig, and others, but it is time for us to get serious because Christ is at the door. And it's time for us to do all that we can to the best of our ability in order to glorify Him and to give our rightful service because we were bought with a price. Christ gave up His life so that we may live. Christ suffered agony for us, which He did not need to. And so, this is a reminder to me of how much and how far I fall short and how much more work I have to do in my personal life. And so I just want to praise the Lord for His mercy and Him being very long-suffering with me and each and every single one of us in this time to get serious. And I invite you all, brethren, to take up Christ as His perfect sacrifice and to just believe and have the faith that He can help you overcome and remove any temptation in your life. That includes pizza or whatever may be holding you up. And so I thank you all and God bless.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. Thank you, Kevin. I have a praise from Sister Susan. And Sister Susan says, praise the Lord for His long suffering with me. Also for my new tankless hot water heater. It was a gift. Also, praise the Lord for the safety of my new puppies. Amen, Sister Susan. Praise the Lord. And I just have a praise to God. I want to praise Him for my salvation. And I just want to share this verse with you here. It's Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Amen.
Okay, it's good. Can everybody hear me? God bless things, everyone. I just want to praise the Lord that I finally this week I was able to get a full-time job again. Praise the Lord for that. And I really don't want to shout. Yeah, well, I mean, I don't really want to swallow the microphone either. But can you hear? Can everybody hear? Okay. Yeah, I want to praise the Lord for getting a full-time job earlier this week after a couple instances of not being. It's already turned up. Thank you. After not being able to get one because I wouldn't work the Sabbath, as well as the end of last month was my 6-year anniversary of not, you know, smoking cigarettes or doing drugs. So that I just want to praise the Lord for that. I do that every year because it's a big milestone every time. So you know, anybody that's ever smoked cigarettes or done that kind of stuff, you know how important it is. You count every day at first, and then you just count years after that. But as well as just being here with you guys, and you know, I want to praise the Lord for giving us a voice to be able to preach to others, you know, for giving us the knowledge that is in His Word to share with others, and you know, continuing to grow in patience and peace and mercy for others, and sometimes just for ourselves. Sometimes we can expect too much of ourselves, and you know, we have to let the Lord work when we cannot, and just stick to our part. But every day is a battle, but we will get victory in this war if we just stay true. You know, as I said, God does not change, He does not fail, and He does not lie. So I just want to praise Him for that, for always being there for us. Praise Him for marriage, that it's not always easy, but it's always a blessing. And you know, it's just nice to have another person with you that God has entrusted to be able to grow, you know, hopefully be together in heaven as well. So thank you guys, we love you, and God bless, have a blessing.
Hello. Sabbath blessings, everyone. This is Sister Anais. I had something I wanted to share. Can everyone hear me okay? Okay. So about a week and a half ago or so, I received word that my cousin was in the hospital. He's about a year younger than me, so he's pretty young. He's 25, and I received word that he was in the hospital with a leak in one of his lungs. And pretty much we didn't know what was going on, and the doctors weren't really saying that much, but they weren't There was no sign of him getting out of the hospital anytime soon. So I went over there and I visited him, and I sent out a message to some of my sisters and my brothers in Christ and asked them to please lift him up in prayer. And lo and behold, a couple of hours later, he was eating, because they had him not eating for about 4 or 5 days. He couldn't eat anything. And so a couple of hours later, after I sent out the prayer request and my brothers and sisters were praying, he was eating, and he sent me a message that he started eating. And then about an hour and a half after that, he was released from the hospital. So it was just a big praise the Lord, because there was no sign of him getting out anytime soon. And they were even talking about surgery, and all of a sudden, he just was released. So praise the Lord, because I know for sure the Lord's hand was definitely a part of that. And I just wanted to share another short time like that as well. And it's just, it goes to show us the power of prayer. And this one happened about maybe a year ago or so. One of my, I call him my nephew, but it's my cousin's baby. He was in the hospital because he fell from a tree and he had a big gash on his head. And they gave him staples on his head and everything. He was really uncomfortable. And he, you know, wouldn't go to sleep or anything like that. And we went to visit him. He was about 6 at the time. And we went to visit him on Sabbath night. It was Friday night at the hospital. And we prayed over him. And he started to fall asleep, like, right away. And my cousin sent me a text message after we left saying that he was sound asleep and he fell asleep. So praise the Lord, because God definitely comforts us. And the power of prayer is so strong. And not only that, but that's why it's so important for us to stay obedient and faithful to the Lord, so our prayers could actually be powerful. And I praise the Lord, and I thank Him for my faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. So, amen. And Sabbath blessings!
Okay, all right. I had to put it on stereo mix so that all the recordings come through cleaner, because some of the mics are low. All right, I got a couple of praises I want to read, and then, you know, like I said, we got a bunch here that people have emailed me. But first, I wanted to praise the Lord for what Sister Nias was just saying in regards to the falling asleep thing. This seems to be how the Lord is working. Who was it? I think Sister Lee remembers this one. Years ago, this wasn't one of the first. I think Jillian was the first that we saw this as a family. Let me start with Jillian. Jillian had just given birth to her first and only child, and they messed up the epidural in a big way, and she was paralyzed from the neck down. And it wasn't a paralyzation to where she was going to be crippled for life. It was the paralyzation to where if you move your head or anything else, you're going to lose your lunch because of the intense pain. That's the type of paralyzation that it was. In other words, she was paralyzed because she was refusing to move, because if you could, well, I think you understand what I'm saying. And we won't lay hands on anybody unless they ask. And the doctor called and all that other stuff, and he was asking for permission to do this or to do that or whatever. I don't know why he was. I think I called him, as a matter of fact, because she's married now, and it was none of my business. But he was more or less saying, "We got to try this procedure." I says, "No, just keep your hands off her." I mean, the first thing that came out of my mouth was, "Don't touch her." I didn't know what the Lord was planning. I didn't know that He was going to do a miraculous healing. I just said, "Don't touch her." And then He started getting adamant about it, and so I got adamant about it, and he decided, okay, we won't touch it. We'll send her home, but you got to understand, it's not going to get better, and all, whatever. Sent her home, and 3 or 4 days later, Jill called and said, could you please lay hands on me? I can't take this anymore. She's just laying in bed the whole day, and she couldn't move. So we went over there, and we all laid hands on her like a family. We, you know, anointed her with oil in the spot that she had the injury from the doctor, and she just drifted off to sleep. And then we went home, and a few minutes later, her husband calls, hysterical, crying, and all this other stuff, and we didn't know what was. I told him, calm down, what's wrong, we're on our way. So he calmed down enough to say, she's up, she's about, she's doing the dishes. He was so hysterical, he couldn't control himself, because she had been healed right in front of her, right in front of his eyes. But the thing is, she drifted off to sleep, like what Sister Ananias was just saying here. And I'm putting two and two together here now, because not long after that, I wasn't full-time ministry yet, and one of the people that knew me, because I'm a street preacher on top of everything else, I'll share my faith with anybody, you know. And so I'm doing this building maintenance as I was doing the website, too, in my off hours. And I guess they knew I was a preacher, because they approached me and says, my dad has been, they told him he's going to die. He's going to be dead within hours. Could you please come over here and pray over my dad and lay hands on him? And so me and Nicholas went, my oldest. And same thing happened. The guy just drifted off to sleep, kind of, you know, and then he got, I think he was mostly out of it to begin with, but he seemed to get a lot calmer. So it looked like he was getting sleepier, I guess. And anyway, they called the next day. He was up and about. Everything was great. Sad thing is, 6 months later, he went back to the bottle, and he did eventually die, and it was my first funeral I ever had to preach. And then, some of you may remember this. Years ago, we were starting a study here in the room, and it was a Friday night, and so the study is starting. I'm starting to teach or preach or whatever it was. I teach and preach at the same time, and so all of a sudden the text chat's going crazy. Shut up, stop, you know, and I says, I didn't even notice it because I usually try to avoid the text chat, and then I think, you know, somebody started sending me PMs, but the old software, the PMs didn't really pop. They just had a little line that would blink. And I noticed, and then it turns out that somebody, I'm not going to mention any names, they were having a, you know, like some of you here, you know, it'll say one name in the room, but there's a couple of families in the living room while we're gathering, you know. And they said there's a woman here, she's bouncing around like a fish out of water kind of a thing, a bunch of these cavernous voices, and she's just, she's possessed. There's a demon messing with her, and she's, you know, running out of the house and all this other stuff, and then they... She finally got back into the house, and then they laid hands on her, and we were all praying, and she drifted off to sleep, and then got up. And from that day forward, from my understanding, she goes around with a Bible in hand, sharing her faith. And then Sister Lee remembers this. She called here, and her youngest boy had these ear problems, inner infections and stuff like that, where he was deaf the first few years of his life. And she asked for prayer, and the kid is crying, and, you know, it was all day long crying. The pain was intense on the kid, right? And we're praying over the phone, and all of a sudden, my first thought came to mind, what did you do, drop him? Because Lee started getting hysterical on the phone. It was, she wouldn't calm down. It's kind of like Adam, my daughter's husband. I says, what happened? She said, he's sleeping. Yeah, and then he was healed. And so it looks like this drifting off to sleep thing is, you know, I want to praise the Lord for that, because when Sister Ananias was saying that, it reminded me of all these times that we've seen this. And so I'm going to write this one down and put it in my private prayer list. So amen to that. All right, and then I got another one here from, let me read this one from Brother John. Get it out of the way because it's kind of big. He's got three praises in here. It says, on Thursday, January 23rd, it says, no PGA SDA school classes due to power lines down, okay? He's giving me like a case history of what is about to happen here. And then he goes, Tuesday, January 29th, rather, and Wednesday, January 30th, not only PGA school, SDA school was closed, but all the other schools as well. And then he said he had some news reports attached to the email. He goes, praise to God, because he seemed to be showing that it is possible for my children not to attend these schools where they used to go. and that they were even happy not, for not being having school. Well, what kid isn't, you know? But anyway, he goes on, he says, have just continued attending again POGM chat room last January 20th, 22, 24, 25, 28, and 30. For SDR Bible studies and church worship when all these series of school closings happened. It really baffled me because I don't know how to share it or who to ask for about it even until Testimony Sabbath last February of 2000, you know, like February of the last one we had here. He goes, one thing I know is that Brother Ace led prayer in the chat room that time, and possibly later the SDR church prayed as well. Since after those events, my children are back to regular school schedules again, but God always reminds me, and excited to see how he may be probably using the SDR Church to help my children grow spiritually. About me, I will continue to attend SDR Church Sabbath services, hoping that all my children will soon follow even such the same example. And then he goes, second praise, concerning our outdoor experience. After the Lord's Supper, Sabbath of April last week, you know, before the 4 p.m. gathering that we always have on Sabbath days, we drove to the Big Lagoon State Park for some walk, fresh air, and sightseeing. First time we had done so, not usual time together outdoors, and praises to God for that. Okay, and then the third praise, he says, if I may, I would like to thank God for giving me the opportunity to tithe to God's ministry. Have expressed before that in giving my tithe and not aspiring for my own ministry, nor SDR membership, nor private message privilege, but please forgive me if I have sinned or offended you or in someone else in any way saying so, having just realized it lately. What I mean is that I am content with just winning souls for God, but am open to advice, suggestions, or even rebuke from you or any brother or sister in Christ, and am willing to change that will please God, willing to make a change that will please God. Right now, since I began tithing, I am more joyful and more fulfilled than when I was not tithing. And so amen and amen. It's amazing how, I love the way these praises always seem to be. It's about people's walks getting better with Christ, and that to me is, that's it. And then one more I want to share here from Brother Robert. He says, God cleared my working during the Sabbath. Praise God. And how many of us have seen this, where people, because I saw it for 16 months, no one would, or no, 18 months? No, it was 16 months. No one would hire me for 16 months because I refused to work on Sabbath. And all of a sudden, I finally got a job. It was the best job I ever had, company truck, the whole 9 yards. And, of course, I ended up quitting that because the Lord said, okay, now I want you to go full-time ministry. But how many of us have seen this? You approach your boss, because a lot of times they go, well, I'll lose my job. And then you go, why? Why would you even think that? And so what if you do? What's more important, obeying God or obeying man? But still, we've seen this happen every time when people do it this way. Approach and say, look, I'll work every holiday. I'll work every Sunday. I can't work Friday, Sunday, sundown to Saturday, sundown. I just can't. I got to, you know, and every time they're like, okay, I got a problem with that. No problem. Okay, see you Sunday. You know. You know, but people don't know to ask. It's so neat. So praise the Lord. Amen and amen. All right, let me turn off my mic, and then I got to set up the stereo mix.
Hey, happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters. Sabbath blessings. Alright, do you guys hear an echo? Test? No? Okay, I want to make sure. Oh, you guys said yes there. Now let me shut my door. Okay. Oh, Lenore, okay. Alright, so I want to just give my Lord all the praise, all the glory for everything that he's been doing in my life. Like everybody else here, we take this opportunity to give him the glory and give praises unto him. And, you know, at this point, I want to thank God for the trials. We all go through so much trials, you know, and there are times when we believe there might be too much that we can bear. But obviously, we're here talking about them and sharing, so obviously they're not. He doesn't give us too much we can't handle. And as the years has taken place, we've had some serious ones and a lot of them here recently, but I want to praise him for his goodness, because we seem to, though we have a rocky road through this mission, we're told we were going to have a nice safe landing, you know, and this is what has happened. And I want to praise him for it. You know, I don't want to get into what all the trials are. And I'm sure you guys don't. Sometimes we will. But the Lord knows. You know, the Lord knows what they are. But I want to thank him for them because it just makes us stronger, gives us a thicker skin. And it's going to help us stand in those last hours. But in helping us stand in the last hours, it's going to help us confess Christ as our Lord. So when we stand and we rebuke the things that are happening to us at that moment, is because our skin has become thicker. And because those hours of trials that we've had in our lifetime as we have progressed in our walk and walking in the commandments, God has raised up people to stand. So I pray that we all together see that we need these trials. You know, I pray that we see we need these trials in our life. Because, you know, in that hour, in those last days, we will fall. Because we will not be able to bear it. So I pray that we see that. We see when the trials come, let us quench the murmuring as much as we can. And just go to our Heavenly Father and lean upon Him. Just as we hear all these praises are being lifted up now, and we see the brothers and sisters giving them praise, even for the trials and how the Lord has delivered them through it, just keep giving God thanks for them, okay? Just one little thing I want to share. As you guys know, I've had some opportunities to share at some colleges here, and I just did this Wednesday at a college out west. And I will say it was a different experience. it was beyond the blessing, beyond the blessing. And to be able to talk to the youth, the young minds today that are hungry for answers, okay? I will say not all of them are hungry for the Lord, you know, but they're hungry for answers and questions. And when it comes down to this topic of Christianity and what is a Christian, who is a Christian, what makes someone a Christian, I've noticed by the youth, the way they see Christianity today, they see it as a judgmental state of beings. And this is something that I have seen consistently now when I share with others. Okay? And it is my job, you know, as a Christian, right, a true Christian, to kind of quench what they see of the guy with the horn at the corner and saying they're all going to go to hell because of this, because of that. And having this judgmental way of living their life. And there's no Spirit of God dwelling within those. My opportunity was given to share with them not only Bible truth, but hopefully and prayerfully that they would see that Christ is in a remnant people. And this is something I strive for each and every day. And God lets me know that I need Him, that I can't have this place in His heavenly kingdom unless I lean upon my Heavenly Father. So in these questions that they asked, I mean, they were from homosexuality to is God a dictator with all these rules and regulations and so forth. And, you know, the opportunity was given to them what the Bible really has to say upon these subjects, and that God is love, and God doesn't want to see them hurt, and God doesn't want to see the diseases come upon them. So if we live in harmony with God's word, we would see that God is love. And, you know, I had maybe almost 4 hours there, you know, to share with these people and this youth. And I tell everyone, I saw Satan in the background. I really did. And not physically, but you can sense, you know, those powers and principalities of the air. It was there, working on the minds of these children. But I did all that the Spirit of God would lead me to do, to let them know that God is love. God is love. So I want to give Him thanks, you know, for the opportunity. And I pray there will be many more opportunities, not just for me, but for you all as well. Because the one great example we all have is our character. For some that may be illiterate, some that may live life ignorantly, but your eyes behold things. You know, your eyes are the lamp of your body. And this is where perception takes place. So when someone can see love within a human being, that comes from the Father of Heaven. That is the character of Christ living in you. So you're going to have an opportunity in the life that you live now to reflect Christ. And as we hear Brother Nick say, sometimes that's the only Bible they will read. So I know there's some of us here, we have brothers and sisters or spouses of other religions living in our own household. I tell you, the best way you could show them your Christian faith is by your fruits. By your fruits. And this gives God the glory. This gives him all the praise. And God will be the judge at the end. Not any of us. But God will give us opportunities to share his love and share his truth, share his law. But if love is absent from any of these things and how we share, you know, it lays down on the ground and will never be fertile. So take these opportunities. I mean, I'm thanking God so much. He has really opened doors for me, and I know he's opening doors for you because I hear them, you know, and more doors will be open. As soon as these doors are open and we all walk in, we'll be in the kingdom. The Lord will come, you know, and blessed will be we. So, you know, pray for one another. You know, pray for your church. Pray for all your brothers here, okay? Because God wants each and every one of us. He wants us to be vessels for him in these last days. But God bless you. I don't want to get too long-winded here on this, but keep the love of Christ in you. I always say this, keep the love of Christ in you. Okay? And understand what it is to have this, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Understand what that is. And when you do, you'll live it. You will live it. All right, brothers and sisters, God bless you, and enjoy the rest of your Sabbath, okay?
Blessing, brethren. Can everybody hear me? Okay, I'm going to make this real quick. My first testimony, I just want to praise God for everything that he has done in my life. And he completely healed me financially, spiritually, physically. Praise God for teaching me a lesson on about the tithing. Because before I was having them like a mistake, but he revealed to me that I was doing wrong, and he taught me a lesson. And the next thing I know, and he blessed me with the healing of financial financial status. And the other thing is, I was at work. We were having a meeting. They're calling people person one by one, and I was called by my higher ups, and they asked me, "So how's it going?" And I said, "Everything pretty much is going good." And yep, they asked me if there's any issue that I would like to bring up, and I said that the only issue I have is it's going to be an issue if I don't communicate with them well. So communication is the key. So I told them that I'm a Sabbath keeper, and I don't work on Friday sunset till Saturday sunset. So they asked me if I'm SDA. I said I'm not SDA. I told them I'm a Seventh Day Remnant. So those higher ups, they can pretty much make decisions, and they told me that, okay, we're gonna support that, we're gonna make sure that you're not gonna work on that day. So I just wanna praise God that they're not gonna give me work on the Sabbath. And also, as far as preaching at work, I'm trying my best, because I know I'm not allowed to preach at work. So one time last week, I was sitting in the, I was sitting at the table eating at lunch, and we talked about the abomination of eating swine. I shared them Leviticus chapter 11 verse 7 and 8 and Isaiah 66 verse 17. And one of them asked me about, how about the Sabbath? And I told them about the truth regarding the Sabbath, sharing them Ezekiel 20:20, and also, of course, the opposite of the Sabbath is Sunday, which is the mark of the beast. And then after that, And one of them said that, and then the next day the person told me, I don't know what that was, but the other person told me that she was really kind of guilty of what she did. I told her that, don't be guilty. I was in the same shoes as you. I did not know the truth, and I did not know, and the Lord just revealed to us in his time. So I'm praising God that two of my coworkers actually is going to start keeping the Sabbath. So one of them said that she will not be going to Sunday church anymore. She will start to keep the Sabbath. So she got like her husband and three kids. So that's four souls if they start keeping the Sabbath. There's four of them. And the other person is, I wrote the third angel's message on the money. He asked me, "Hey, do you have some change for $10? "Yes, I do." And I gave him the change, and I got the third angel's message written down on those dollar bills, and he started reading it before he used it in the vending machine. So I praise God for that. I didn't even have to talk to him about that, but he completely read it front and back. So I got also the Bible. I hope that we won't get in trouble for doing that. So as far as the last thing is getting serious with the work, I just praise the Lord that every time I do the work, everywhere I go, it's just the Lord is protecting me, and I just praise God that He's always protecting us with the hedge of His angels. Because if I'm not doing the work, I'm just looking for something, like, where am I gonna start? Let's say the cops is passing by or the security is passing by, and by the time I start doing the work, passing out cards, there's no cops, and people are being receptive to, like, receiving cards. I said, I just, hey, good day, good morning. Maybe it depends if it's those, maybe if it was like a sunny day or something, people are more receptive in receiving the cards. So just smile at my face and just give it to them. And I just want to share a verse from 1 Kings 9:9-13 here. When Solomon was asking the Lord for wisdom and discernment, it says here, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee. Neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all this." I just like to share this verse because me personally and all of us, we are desirous to please God by keeping His commandments. We are not desiring to ask for riches or anything from this world, because all the things from this world is just vanity and vexation of spirit. So it's as the Lord Jesus said in the Bible, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and everything shall be added unto us." So I just want to greet you all, happy Sabbath, and God bless.
Amen. Amen and amen. I want to praise the Lord too for the new internet bandwidth. With as many families as we have in here right now, the microphone switches real quick. If you remember when we first got this chat, when we only had 3 meg up and down, and sometimes it would take a minute to a minute and a half before the microphone would turn on someone else's computer. So I want to praise the Lord for that, because that was annoying. And I got a bunch of PMs here. I can't see any of the chat room, except for the names on the right. So I wanted to share some of these. I wanted to share Brother John's real quick, but he left. And the reason is because his battery was almost dead when he says, "Could you please share this?" And he says he has a big unspoken praise. This is John F., by the way. We have a John R. I read for him earlier, but this is John F. And he says, "Big unspoken praise to the Lord concerning my life and how God has blessed in so little time He did it in, and for keeping me faithful to Him financially and in my life. Please mention this for me, brother. My battery is almost done." And then all of a sudden he left. About 5 minutes later he left. So, all right. And Sister Angela wanted me to read to you all Psalm 33, and I can understand why the Spirit moved her to ask for this verse or this passage. It's only 22 verses. Check this out. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harps. Sing unto Him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto Him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depths in storehouses. Let all the earth fear, the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people to none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven, he beholdeth the sons of men. From the place of his habitation he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike, he considereth all their works. There is no king saved by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee. So amen and amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Angela, for sharing. And, yeah, amen. And Brother Ace just PM me, says he was just praising the Lord, how he was thinking about how smooth things are going in the chat room. You know, how it's just, the 10 meg is really working good. And so, see, I know I got a couple of hands up here. Thank you, Daniel. And I'm trying to get some of these PMs out of the way so I can actually see the chat room. Brother Gorin, he has a praise here. He goes, one day I had to go downtown, or had to go to town sorting out some paperwork, but it was a rainy day, and it was raining. So as I got out of the house, the stairs were wet, and my foot slipped. I ended up on my rear end, fell down, but absolutely nothing happened, nothing broken, not even bruises. I was just sitting there for a minute on the wet stairs, rain falling, and I said, thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Plus many butterfly wings, small everyday things that the Lord helps with. Amen. Yeah, I love the butterfly wing ones too, as well as the mountains. So amen and amen to that, brother. And then, let's see, Hank has a praise. He goes, I thank God I got a job that allows the Sabbath, and I'll be home every day and not away from my family. Just hope God will let the Holy Spirit help me get my family in order to the will of God our Father. Amen. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord there. And then Sister Bonnie sent me a few here. I think I got one from Kara and one from Vera. And the one from Kara says, I want to praise the Lord that my boss was so understanding when I told her I don't work Saturdays. She said, you're the first person, the very first person that I know of that does church on Saturday. She still, to this day, doesn't ask me to work on Sabbath day. Amen and amen. And I want to praise the Lord for that too, because I've seen over the years people that have been moved to take that stand, and some even lose jobs and then get better jobs because of it. I remember that one businessman who was told by the mall, you got to leave your doors open on Saturdays. Well, he refused, even though he found out that Saturday, you know, he knew the Sabbath was Saturday, and he decided he was going to keep it. But his problem was Saturday was his best day. Saturday made his week, literally. I mean, open all the rest of the day. He says, it'd be better for him to close every day except Saturday. That's how busy that day was. But he decided to give it to the Lord. And then they says, okay, if you close again, we're going to fine you. And they were going to fine him $3,000. And he says, well, I got to be obedient. So not only did the Lord bless him with the $3,000 to pay every week, Sunday and the rest of the days of the week brought in so much business that it made that $3,000 a very easy task. And he still kept the doors closed on every Sabbath. And he was continuously blessed in his business for doing so. And I've met, you know, doctors, nurses, and all sorts of people that work in the professional field, like in the medical association. We understand emergencies, yeah, and you're supposed to work on emergencies. But you can't, even though, because we have nurses that are part of our church family that do not work on Sabbath, and they have been blessed immensely too. You know, and yeah, if emergency comes, you got to go. We understand the ox in the ditch thing. That's truth. But it's amazing even how, even there, when they're obedient, the Lord blesses them there. And yeah, and Fran, my wife, three times had to stand up for Sabbath at work and was blessed each time. The first time she did it, we were Sunday keepers, because we kept Sunday like people keep Sabbath. I remember that back when we moved away from the Chicago area and we moved out here. And 6 months later, we became Sabbath keepers. But she found work at the local hospital and it was difficult because I said, oh, wait a second. So next year you're going to tell us Thursday's your Sabbath? I mean, they probably ridiculed her and stuff like that because she went from one to the next. So, and I've seen friends do that to me, too, over the years. All right, and then Vera has a praise that Sister Bonnie sent me, and it says, thank you, my beloved church, for praying for me. Prayer is truly amazing. God is also working in the heart of my husband. I can see that. My husband is being extra resistant to the truth recently. As the devil is pathetically using his last means of keeping my husband away from the truth. So, amen. Keep praying, you know, for Sister Vera's husband and that he is blessed with the truth. Because a lot of people out there, especially, well, her husband's a Muslim, right? I'm pretty sure, right? Am I right about that? Yes, he's a Muslim. Think about this with the Muslim thing. We all know what happened with Abram. Well, then who later became Abraham, and how he assumed, he even was a little concerned for Ishmael because it was his firstborn son, and the Lord says, yeah, don't worry, he's going to be blessed, but he's going to have every man's hand, he's going to be against every man's hand, and every man's hand is going to be against him, and that's just the way the Muslims are to this day. They're killing everybody now, not just Christians. They just started doing this with the Buddhists, too, and they hate the Jews, of course, but look into that. The spirit of Ishmael is in the spirit of all of these Jews today, rather all the Muslims today, because Ishmael hated Isaac because of the blessing that was promised, who Ishmael thought his blessing was. When Isaac was born, that blessing was taken from Ishmael and actually given to Isaac, because that's what the Lord said in the first place. It's supposed to be between you and Sarah, not you and Hagar. And from that day forward, they've always hated the Jews. And why do they hate Christians? Well, look at the lineage of Christ. He's out of the house of David. So and they hate the Jews, and they're, you know, especially the house of David. So, okay, please share my praise. I emailed you and shared last Sabbath. Could you re-email it to me, Mindy? And I know we got some hands up, so let me put my mic down.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. I just got a couple quick praises. I know my pastor mentioned this last night. I just want to thank God for removing those cigarettes from my wife. This has been a long, long, long struggle that we've dealt with. And we tried gum, we tried patches, we tried so many different things. And finally, we just decided, you know what, just give it to the Lord. And we gave it to Him and never looked back. And He took it, and we're just so thankful. We're so thankful for Him taking it away. I mean, the amount of money, the financial burden that it was causing, and now it is so much of a blessing. I also want to praise the Lord for the volume. Okay, let me turn it up a little bit. Let me get a little closer. Is that better? That should be a little better. Okay. All right. I also want to praise the Lord because where I work at, it was me and this other fella. And we've been struggling for some help. We've been asking, you know, for the job to send some extra help for a long, long time, and it's just me and him. So we were working kind of long hours and doing a lot of work, and it was putting a big burden on us. We recently got a new guy to come in, and he's kind of getting into it, but he wasn't really getting the whole gist of the job right away. But recently we hired a new guy, and he comes in, and he's high speed. I mean, he knows the job, he knows the ins and outs, and the good thing about it is he's also a Christian. And he came over to my radio because he knows every day, the very first day he noticed that I played Proverbs. Every single day I played the Proverbs on my radio. And he's like, I got to commend you, brother. I got to commend you because you have no shame. What you're doing is for the Lord, and I appreciate you for that. So we got a chance and we sat down and we're doing Bible studies and he reads out of the NIV, so I knew, like, oh Lord, you're sending me right now, you're sending me a test right away to be able to sit down and study with him and show him the errors, you know, in his Bible. So I also want to praise the Lord for that. And I also want to reiterate on kind of what something Brother Ace said earlier about the eye being the lamp of the body. And I was just reading that scripture just now, and I was looking at it, and it reads, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that light? And it got me to thinking that we know the sun illuminates the world, or at least on this side of the globe, but we only see that is what's in front of us. Everything else around us is darkness. Even though we know that the sun is risen and we see the light, but we cannot see unless we see what is directly in front of us. So if our eye is not on Jesus, that means he's in the dark. But if we keep our eyes on the Lord, if we keep our eyes on him, how great is that light? And it just hit me like a ton of bricks. I'm like, Lord, as long as we keep our eyes on you, we are good to go. We have no worries, no stress, no problems, none at all. And I just want to thank him so, so much, because he's brought us all, especially me. He's brought me a long, 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 long way. And I got one prayer request real quick, because my mother, she just sent me a text last night, and it kind of hurts my heart to be able to do this. But she told me that my brother is graduating on a Friday, and the time is 8 p.m. And it's going to kind of hurt me to be able to tell her, but I'm not going to be able to attend my own brother's graduation. And I pray, brothers and sisters, you know, keep me in my prayers, because I'm going to have to, you know, break this news to her that I won't be able to attend. I just want to leave on that note, and I just thank you so much, Lord, just bringing me to this church and bringing me to the truth, you know, as it's written in Scripture. And I went to so many different Bibles. I went to the Message Bible and the NIV Bible, and I found myself not even being able to even quote Scripture. Just one instance of reading the King James, going back to the King James, and it's just the poetic nature of it. It is such a beautiful Bible. I cannot understand why anyone want to go to any other Scripture. They got all the excuses in the world why they don't want to read this Bible. But I thank you so much, brothers. Keep the faith. Stay strong, because the times are coming, and we know that the enemy is trying everything to belittle the truth. So I just want to leave on that note. Sabbath blessing to everyone. I love you, and enjoy the rest of your Sabbath.
Sabbath blessing, brothers and sister. I thought Brother Ken L. was before me. I just got to thank the Lord for being alive in a time like this, where I could see his hand move in all things, could see the prophecies being fulfilled. I've been talking to my brother. I got a younger brother and two sisters. I've been talking to my brother over the years, and now I see that he's even quoting scriptures to me. He's not a Christian or anything. And he went out and got like a ninja blender, and he's getting into juicing and health, and he's trying to watch everything that he eat. So I could see that he's hearing what I was preaching. So I got to give God thanks for that, because he's my only brother, and he's young. He's 4 years younger than me. And everybody got to worry about the health, what's going on with the food that we eat. I got to say thanks to God for... I got this story I got to tell you guys. I went to work in the winter for a client of mine, and it's upstate New York. And when I left out, I found out that I didn't have any gas in my car. I drove like a 8-cylinder truck, and I didn't have any money on me. So I was sitting in my truck going, Lord, how am I going to get home? It's very cold, and I hate to run out of gas on the side of the road. And I just set up a little prayer, and just to see that God, he cares about you, and he hears everything that you pray about. You know, he's always there. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. And I sent up a little prayer, and I believe in my heart. And I drove for 30 to 35 minutes back home from New York to New Jersey on the gas light in my car. And I had gas to go to the gas station the next morning. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we serve a mighty God. And if you only believe, he said, all things are possible if you only believe. And that's what I will leave you guys with today. And remember, we serve the creator of the universe. Okay? Have a blessed Sabbath, brothers and sisters.
You want to try it again there, Ken? I just noticed your mic went on and off. I don't want to jump ahead of you there. Put your hand up and I'll drop my mic. There he goes. Okay, hold on. I don't know what's wrong, but you want to try it one more time. I don't know why it's not working for you there, so I'm going to turn off my mic again here. Yeah, there's some kind of a technical thing going on there, Ken. Because your microphone does turn on, it turns red for a split second, and then it turns off, and then your hand pops up. So,
yeah.
If it's a laptop, I'd reboot. I would make sure that your default settings in the audio section of the control panel is set for microphone and not stereo mix or something. Because if you were making a video or something like that. But let me know when you're ready. And okay, you want to try it again? All right, hold on. Okay, it's not working. So I'd try a reboot if I were you. So anyway, I got a few here. I'm backing up here. I'm getting the PMs like crazy again. Brother Kevin has a short praise. He says, I've just lost 20 pounds since late November. So amen and amen to that. That ain't easy to do. Yeah. So praise the Lord. And, Mindy wanted me to, I got Brother Craig's two praises from last night. I don't want to forget about this. And then I got Sister Minnie just emailed me hers. Craig says, number one, he goes, I want to praise the Lord for the dream and the warning. I was sleeping and had a dream of a big spider by me. I then woke up and moved my pillows to clean up, and there was this very big poisonous spider. Praise the Lord for the dream that woke me up. Amen and amen. And number two, praise the Most High for all his tender, loving care and all the blessings in the work that they're in the work they are doing in each of our lives. Amen. Praise his name. All right. And then Sister Mindy has a praise here, and she says, please share. Okay. Thank you for the Lord setting me free from my bondage of sin that I was entangled in for 15 years. Please feel free to do so, to share this, I guess. I had called you the one and the only time, she says, about 6 months ago, I think it was. And she says, asking you to pray with me about the foothold that the enemy of souls had on me. And you prayed with me, and I remember doing that over the phone, yeah. And then that the Lord would strengthen me to let go of it once and for all. It was, and she says, it was on January 11th, 2014. So that was like 4 months ago. And the Sabbath Eve before the Lord's Supper, that I let go and let God take over, and the Lord delivered me out of the bondage of sin completely. So amen and amen. And then she says, I want to thank you again, Pastor Nick, for praying with me on the phone many months ago. There's nothing like the power of prayer. Amen. Amen. Oops. Okay, let me, got a couple of short ones here in the PMs. Sister Vera says, Nicholas, can I attend the feast part of my cousin's wedding this coming Sabbath to hand out tracts? Going to a reception on Sabbath is, of course, you know, they're going to be drinking, they're going to be partying. It's all about the bride. It has nothing to do with the Sabbath. If you go there, you're just going to be annoying them, for one thing. And and it doesn't matter if it's 6 o'clock, the feast, because, or the reception, because Sabbath is not going to break until like 8:40. You know, maybe even, I don't know, when was this, next week or something? Because right now Sabbath breaks at about 8:30. So next week it'll be about 8:37, 38, so like a minute a day or something like that. The time changes. I wouldn't go at all, because it's your cousin's thing. You're going to be lured to stop doing the tracks and sit down and just be with family, and you're going to end up not keeping the you know, you're not going to be able to keep the Sabbath holy. And yes, passing out tracts on Sabbath is perfectly acceptable, but me personally, I wouldn't go to a family gathering on Sabbath to hand out tracts, especially my family. They would get very upset. But just going, you're going to be tempted to just be with them on Sabbath day and party with them and have that, you know, the reception and all that. I mean, just being there is, you're condoning it. In my personal opinion, my humble opinion, going to a reception or going to a wedding or going to a funeral or whatever on Sabbath day is, the funeral or the wedding is all about the people. Like the funeral piece, of course, being about the dead person, and the wedding being, of course, about the bride and the groom. And so, yeah, I wouldn't condone it in any way. I would never even go. So that's just my opinion. Do as the Spirit leads, but, you know, I wouldn't be able to handle the guilt the next day. For the next week, I wouldn't be able to handle the guilt. You know, so. All right, let me try to get one more here. Is there any more people got their hands up here? Let me just see. Oh, good, I can read a couple of more of these. All right. I mentioned a little bit about this last night in regards to Tony, this one friend of mine that I didn't grow up with the guy. I mean, well, I kind of grew up with him because... I met him when I was 14 or 15. We were still living in the Chicago area. My parents were building a new house in the extreme south suburbs, to where our backyard was a prairie all the way to the canal, which was about a mile, which we loved. We used to go on what we called journeys. We would go in the creek and walk in the water and get our legs all covered with leeches. And it was just great, just having a blast. But before we moved, we had to, about 6 months, even, you know, we were still living in the Chicago area, but we were going to the new high school. But in order to get to the new high school, we had to take the bus that was across the Southfield Shopping Center, which is about 3 blocks from our home, because our home was 2 blocks behind the Southfield Shopping Center, and the parking lot itself was about a block long. And so we had to go there, and that's where I met Tony and Jim, these two guys that were kind of like brothers, but they weren't. Those guys grew up together when I met him. And to make a long story short, when I became a Christian, all of my friends, including Tony, just disappeared. All my siblings disowned me, my parents disowned me, everybody disowned me, especially after I started sending out that information about Christmas and the Vatican and all this. And but Tony, as well as one of my brothers, my brother Bert, Bert contacted me after the Twin Towers fell, because he knew I studied prophecy, and then Tony would call every now and then when these prophetic events were happening, and we got to talking again. And so for the last 3 or 4 years, maybe 5 years, him and I talk like maybe once a month, and he's got all these Bible questions. But he's still a Sunday keeper, and he goes to all these weird preachers, and he likes to listen to the Jimmy Swaggart and all this other stuff, right? Well, yesterday he called in regards to, or no, two, 3 days ago he called in regards to the Blood Red Moons. Yep. Hey, so did Ace, by the way. No, Ace was, you know, actually brought, you know, it was nice to have that call from you, Brother Ace, because that really helped because of all the calls and the emails that there were about the Blood Red Moons. That's why I did that quick video about it. And so Tony called and had a bunch of questions about it, and I was telling him what I had already put in my book 10 years ago, or maybe 15 years ago, my book called People Get Ready. And in that book, I show what Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 29, about the after a great tribulation where the Catholic Church is done killing the Christians, you're going to have the sun will stop shining, the blood red moon. Well, he just says the moon will not give her light, but you got to go back to Joel chapter 2 to see why it doesn't give its light, because Joel says it looks like blood. And so I explain all those prophecies, and I put all the historic documentations about eyewitness accounts of the sun not shining at midday, like at noon. They even said it was like if you put your hand to your face, it was like the blackest velvet. You couldn't see it. There was no sun in the sky for like a little over 24 hours. And there was no volcanic eruption either. They just had no light. All right? Even the congressmen lit candles thinking that this was the harbinger of the coming of the Son of Man. They wanted to let them know that we're at our post doing our job, because they all got scared. They thought it was the end of the world. And so I'm sharing this with Tony, and it kind of struck a nerve. And he says, I want to see that stuff. And I says, well, it's in my book. And he actually asked for it. And so I wanted to praise the Lord for that he's actually got my book in his hands probably Monday or Tuesday, one of my books anyway. And then I sent him out the new and improved version of my videos where they're high def, the high definition of my video DVD called 7. And because him, you know, I just praise the Lord that he's actually going to have this in his hand, because he lost internet and all this other stuff. And he hasn't been online for a while. He used to send out these mass emails to everybody about he's very much into the current events, like my son Luke, and I mean really into it, like these guys are. And so that's why he would send out these emails, and every now and then I'd send him back one. But okay, Brother Kevin's got a praise, and so then I got a couple of more here to share. So, and before closing on this, Brother Daniel just sent me an email or a PM saying 1,718 earthquakes since last Sabbath at this time. And as you all know, Brother Daniel is the one that does the earthquake updates on my site every week. You usually see it on Sundays, and that's still over 1,700 quakes in just 1 week, and one of them was a 7.5 in Papua New Guinea with 12 aftershocks. And to date, there's been four 7.0s, over 7.0s in a magnitude, and five earthquakes, 6.0 in magnitude. So, and the Ring of Fire's all lit up. You know, in other words, Jesus is coming. It's just amazing. That's why we put up the earthquake updates. People, you know, don't seem to realize, yeah, there's more earthquakes per week now than there were per, like before the end times began. I think they had 91 earthquakes that were killing more than 10,000 people in the course of 4,000 years. You know, and so now we've had 91 earthquakes that killed more than 10,000 people in 20 years or something like that. So it's just amazing what's going on. So thanks again, Brother Daniel. And let me turn off my mic, and Brother Kevin's got something he's going to share here. And we're just about going to wrap it up because we've already been doing this here for an hour. So if you've got any praises, please share. And I got a couple more I wanted to share before we close. They're kind of quick. So, and then Brother Kang, he sent me his because I guess he's having problems with his computer. I think he sent me one. I'm going to read this here in a second. So here, let me turn off my mic.
Can you all hear me? There we go. I won't keep this too long. I know it's getting late, but, you know, the question you posted, Sister Vera, led me to share my testimony with you real quick, and hopefully it'll help you. About 6 months ago, my brother had a wedding. A wedding was on Sabbath, and it was a Catholic wedding. And he called me up one day and he said, you know, would you like to be an usher for my wedding? And I told him I couldn't go. And it was through the Holy Spirit, not through myself, but I had to tell him that I can't support your wedding. I can't support your church. I can't support any of it. I can't go. And he told me, and I'll never forget this, he said through the phone, it's like, if you do this, then you will not have a relationship with me or your niece, he has a daughter, or any, you know, I don't want to have any relationship with you any further. And I said, so be it. And, you know, it hurt, but at the same time, the Lord has blessed me very much so. And I know there's a lot of questions going on here around, you know, can I do this, or should I go to that, or should I do this, or should I do that? And, you know, just let the Holy Spirit guide you. But when it comes down to it, we have to remember that we're going to have to die for our faith one day. And, you know, all right, if we cannot stand now for the truth, it's going to be impossible for us later on in life to give our lives for the truth. And that's just what the Spirit led to me. God is good, and once again, I do nothing for myself. It's not my righteousness. It's Christ our righteousness. Don't try to misunderstand what I'm saying and, you know, boasting of myself. No, not at all. It hurt. But I, just like Brother Nick said, I would be so overcome with guilt going to a Catholic wedding up on. You know, I praise the Lord it was a Catholic wedding because that gave me more discernment to not go. But, you know, like Brother Nick said, I would just be overcome with guilt for weeks and weeks. I could not do it. I just could not do it. So hopefully that can be motivation for others who are being tempted with family associations on Sabbath, you know, in regards to weddings or, you know, funerals and stuff like that. Hopefully just keep it in prayer and let the Holy Spirit guide you on your decision, and just know that you have a helper in that. And, you know, to be honest with you, the way it is now, my brother, we talk, it's not the same, but I mean, he doesn't hate me or anything. I mean, and this almost sounds crude to worldly people, but you give them time, they kind of forget about it. You know, if you don't go to their wedding or what have you, give it 6 months. They might not even be mad at you after that. I mean, it's kind of a weird way to think of it, but, you know, just, we got to stand for God and His commandments. And just keep the faith and be strong. God bless.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. Can you hear me? Alright. So I want to share my testimony, and I'm going to just review, like, some earlier parts. I want to praise the Lord for bringing me into His Sabbath truth, for dying for me upon the cross, for saving me. Before I became a real striving Christian, I would say I was a Christian, but I really didn't try to obey the Ten Commandments. I was very, very lukewarm, I guess. After coming to the Sabbath truth, he started blessing me with the ability to obey His law, and I found Pastor Nicholas' site, which I have been here ever since, and so I want to praise God for leading me to His Seventh-day Remnant Church. I want to praise God for the continual advancement that has been going on in my spiritual walk. I can look back now, how I am now, and look how I was before, and see, not boasting, but great improvements, and I really want to praise the Lord for that. As a matter of fact, when I was applying for one of the jobs, and it was asking what was my greatest accomplishment was, and, you know, I can't give it to myself, but I think the greatest accomplishment, even though it's not my own, so to speak, the greatest thing that I'm most proud of, although, again, not my own, it is the Lord's power, is the change in character into becoming a real striving Christian. Not too long ago, I started having some issues in my spiritual walk. I started to have some issues in my spiritual walk, and I started noticing them, and I started praying to the Lord to help me, to basically send me tests, or at least tell me why at some points, you know, that I do something that was wrong, and I wouldn't feel guilty for it, and it was bothering me. So I prayed for this trial and this test, and I got the worst trial slash test I have ever received in my life. Basically, I talked to my dad, and he told me I wasn't allowed to teach my little sisters what I've been learning. I was going to ignore that because I was just like, well, Acts 5:29, you know, I have to teach the truth. But it's come to find out that Exodus 20:12, which is the fifth commandment about honoring your mother and father, I found that I should be obeying what they're saying. Because even if I can't teach them the truth at the moment, they will be able to see my character, which will help bring them to the truth. Problem is I didn't value the Christ-like character at that point as I should have. And I sunk down, and I started thinking it was hopeless, this is useless, what am I going to do? Basically, I got to the point where I started thinking that the Holy Spirit was coming to me and, like, lift me up to just, like, come on, let's go. Let's basically just continue on basically with my spiritual walk and don't be so down. And started wanting to go a different way. And basically it was like saying no to the Holy Spirit. And this happened 3 times. Third time, the proverbial cock crew. I thought I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit leave me. And that scared the daylights out of me. And I started looking at, what did I just do? What am I doing? And I was really concerned, and I started panicking, and I was panicking for maybe about 2 minutes. And then I started thinking I felt the Holy Spirit again. Not that he left, it was basically that he was silent. And when I started hearing the Holy Spirit's voice again, it was light. Like, I could barely hear it. And I was like, I'll just take that, I'll go with that, because I cannot be without the Holy Spirit. And then I ended up praying and fasting, and I found myself looking back on how I was and the words that were coming out of my mouth and the things I was saying, and I started realizing that, as I said earlier, I didn't value the Christ-like character like I should have. You know, I was always about teaching the truth. You got to teach the truth. You have to teach the truth. And that's good. That's exactly what we should be doing. But if you don't have the character of Christ, you know, what's it going to do? You know, 1 Corinthians 13 is pretty plain. You know, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. You know, that's verses 1 and 2. And I didn't really pay attention to that. I didn't really think about that. I wasn't living really a Christ-like life. I mean, my prayers were still being answered. I was still being blessed. But I wasn't seeing what I needed to see about my character. And I started feeling down and feeling ashamed, and, you know, of course, me thinking that the Holy Spirit had left, which I know didn't. You know, I was struggling. I was really struggling with my faith. You know, I pray for a trial in faith, and lo and behold, I got the biggest struggle, biggest trial with my faith that I've ever had in my life. And I praise God that He brought me out of it. You know, I would see certain things like Hebrews 10, 25 or 26. One of those. Yeah, Hebrews 10, 26. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. And I'd read something like that, and I'd get freaked out. And I was really afraid that I had lost the Holy Spirit. I was really afraid because of, yeah, that I had lost the Holy Spirit. But the Lord brought me through that. And as I said, I prayed for a trial. I prayed for a trial in faith, which I got the worst, or best, I should say. Worst, as in the hardest, I guess, so to speak. So the hardest trial I've ever received. But the best, because it has done wonders for me, and it has helped me. Not only that, but I've been being blessed recently with me not following after my feelings, which is also a problem I had, because I would do something just because I felt it, and not because it was right, or not because it was wrong. And it led to me acting a little fanatical in some ways, and that was happening for some time. The Lord has blessed me and has been pulling me out of that. And now the next thing that He has me working on right now is my relationship with my parents. Things, the way I was when I was a child. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2 talks about disobedient to parents. And when I was younger, I was very, very disobedient to my parents. I mean, I used to lie without even having to think about it, really. I mean, it was just, it would seem like I wouldn't even have to think about it. It would go so quick. I was really disobedient to my parents. I would say awful things about my mother or father and father. I would say awful things. The Lord has been blessing me to even come to this point to want to fix my relationship with my parents, to understand the honor of thy mother and father, about respecting them, obeying the rules of the house, etc. And so I want to praise the Lord that He's been leading me and guiding me. You know, I'm careful about dreams, and we should be careful about dreams, because we don't want Satan to be leading us astray. You know, Pastor Nicholas said something last night that, to me, just confirmed that what I dreamt about is exactly right. And basically, well, this portion of it. I was in my dream, and in this dream, my mother yelled, "Unthankful." And literally, I woke up probably literally just after she said that. And my heart was cut. And I knew it was true. I knew it was true. And that's the way I was even still recently. Even though I've been getting better, thanks to the Lord, I've been unthankful to my parents. You know, I haven't been a real Christian. I haven't been the way we should be. And so I want to praise the Lord for even revealing that to me. As I said, I'm careful about some things about my dreams, but even the Lord revealing that to me, just getting me to realize, hey, being a little unthankful to your parents, make sure you're thankful. And I want to praise Him that, you know, my dad got to a point where he stopped wanting to talk to me and stopped wanting to look at me. And this is even recently. And it bothered me, and I wanted to fix my relationship with my parents. I have some things going on in this house that need to be fixed, and I ask that you all please keep me in prayer. know, yesterday my dad asked me for help, to help him with something. And I went outside, and I went to help him. And he only asked me to help him for one thing, but, you know, there was a whole bunch of things to, or there was a whole bunch of leaves to put away. And, you know, I asked him if he needed help. He said, if I want. So ran back into the house, grabbed a sweatshirt, closed the door, went and helped my dad rake the leaves. And to be completely honest with you, we started talking again. And I have to praise the Lord for that, because I want everything to be fixed. I just want things to be right with us in this household. And I understand that because of the difference of my faith, there we're going to have problems, but, you know, I don't want to end up leaving my house on a horrible note. You know, I want things to be blessed. I want them, that even if they don't see the way that I see, that the relationship can still be there. And that when the time comes, that I may be blessed enough to receive a phone call and hear somebody, hear my mom or my dad going, hey, what's this about this Sunday law? What's this about this Sunday law that's going on? You know, I want to be able to be in that position to help my family out. You know, my family means very, very much to me. And even though I haven't acted like it in my entire life, pretty much my entire life, you know, they do. So I want to praise the Lord for everything He's been leading me and been blessing me to do and to help me fix in my life and my spiritual walk. And I pray that things will continue forward. God bless everyone.
Amen. Amen, brother. It's obvious the Lord is working with you, so I have no doubt things are getting fixed as you speak. So, amen. I got, like I said, a couple of praises here, but I want to reiterate in regards to what Vera was saying earlier about the reception and that, and what Brother Kevin stated, too. Leaving the Roman Catholic Church was one of the most difficult things for me to do because, as many of you know, I was teaching there. I was a Eucharistic minister. I was an usher. I was just all involved. I was really devout, going to Mass every morning, the whole nine yards. And I never forget it like it's like it was yesterday, because it was 29 years ago last month. I'm out there in that field where I used to pray the rosary, and now I'm just out there talking to the Lord. And it was like I was more or less saying, you want me to say what? Because I knew the Pope was Antichrist. I didn't have any idea what the mark was. I still thought it was like a barcode, you know, because being a computer geek, you know, I was kind of leaning in that direction. When I stood my ground, yeah, it was difficult. I didn't go to the weddings. I didn't do the family gatherings, especially in the bars and stuff like that, especially after becoming a Sabbath keeper and stuff like that. And yeah, all my siblings left my side, you know, every one of my friends. It was like Tony only started calling, like I say, 3 or 4 years ago. And this was 29 years ago that I left the church. And it was not easy for me because I was family oriented, even though I didn't, you know, act like it, because I was Mr. Tough Guy and all that other stuff and acting like an idiot. I was one of 11 kids, and so you had no choice but to be family-oriented, because every time you got up in the morning, there was 10 other people all around you, and then Mom and Dad, you know, and so it was just, it was a society. My whole world was my siblings, because that's all it was for decades until I, you know, got married and left, of course. And then when I found Christ and started doing, you know, the work and exposing them, it was, you know, the Antichrist and all that, it got very hard. There was many times I would weep into a towel because I don't want my kids to hear when we were living above my parents, because some of the things that they were doing to my kids and my my siblings were doing to my kids and scaring them and saying things. And you know, but the thing I realized here was, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Matthew 10:37. When Jesus said that, that was really, really hard for me to hear, but at the same time as easy as cake to hear. Because it was difficult, yeah. But there was no doubt in my mind I was going to do it anyway. If my kids leave my side, if my siblings leave my side, I'm not leaving your side, Christ. It just ain't happening. As difficult as that may seem. And this is why I believe all the attacks and the trials that I went through over all those years was to prepare me for later in life, like, because perhaps maybe one of my kids would leave my side, or maybe my friends or, you know, more would leave my side. Because we've seen some loved ones leave our church recently that, I mean, it gets difficult to the point where you can actually get sick. But it still ain't going to change my mind. I'm still going to stick with Christ. It's very, very difficult. And I also understand the theology behind 2 Thessalonians 3:14. It says, if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. And it even says in the next verse, not to look at him as an enemy, but admonish him like a brother. Why? Because when you walk away from them, you don't go to their wedding receptions, or you don't do this, or you don't do that, or they're going to realize, especially if you've got a couple of decades in your under your belt of walking with Christ, they're going to realize that he really did change you. Case in point, one of my brothers called me when the Twin Towers fell, and one of my sisters recently called me because, and she said it, I didn't, she said she looked at me like John the Baptist of the family because everybody else did this and did that, but no one stuck with it. And I don't know why she said John the Baptist, but it was just weird, she says, about how you kept trying to tell everybody to get their act straight, and they kept ignoring you and blowing you off. And the show, they wanted to meet with us. Her and her husband wanted to meet with us. They actually, she was telling me, says, because of our staying power, that we actually stuck, our, me and Fran, because of the way we stuck to our guns and all this. Even though we got thrown above my parents living in the 1,011-day house where all my siblings were still around, constantly attacking and stuff like that, we still stood our ground. And that moved her. To the point where she left the Catholic Church. She wanted to meet the Jesus I was meeting. Now, she hasn't gone all the way, of course. She still doesn't keep Sabbath and stuff like that. And right before she was getting ready to meet us, her and her husband were going to come over and visit with us for a while, and then my dad died. And when my dad died, I put that little comment in the death card that, I guess, hit some of the family to the point where one of my sister's church friends read it and wanted to put it on their website, and they did. And then I says, you know, all I ask is that you put a link back to my site. Maybe I shouldn't have said that, because they went to my site and then started telling my sister I was a cult and all this other weird stuff, and then my sister never bothered to come over and meet with us. And so I'm still praying about that. But the fact of the matter is, Sister Vera, when you stand your ground, it may take a few years, but eventually, they're gonna see it if you stand your ground. I don't care how, even if they're like my brothers and sisters, are all Roman Catholics, most of them. Eventually, they're gonna see Christ in you. It's just, you know, it's gonna take a while sometimes, but they're gonna see it. Just, you know, and you too, Sean. They're already obviously seeing it. You know, so you know, not to worry. It's rough. It may even get you sick. Don't let it get you sick, though. I hold things in, and I shouldn't do that. I love my kids so much. I love my siblings so much that it'll actually get me sick. And I praise God, and it's Testimony Sabbath, so why not? I praise God that He's got me to that point where it's not going to get me sick anymore. And yes, amen. Your children are sanctified, Vera, because you are a Christian. It's just like your husband's sanctified. And what that means is they have a better opportunity than most people, because the Bible does say that the unbelieving spouse is sanctified by the believing spouse. That doesn't mean they're guaranteed heaven. What it means is they have a better opportunity to find Christ than anybody else, because they actually are married to a real Christian, or they have a mom that's a real Christian. So they've got the best of both worlds right there, you know, and hopefully they'll lean towards the world that we're headed towards, which where New Jerusalem is placed upon. All right, so anyway, I got a Brother Ken, I guess his computer's messing up, and he said for me to read this. He goes, you can read our praise that the wife had those three stents put in her heart and her neck, and 2 days after that neck operation, she had to go to a state hearing for Social Security disability income, and a lawyer had her in his office for over 2.5 hours, prepping her for the hearing. As soon as the work expert came in to testify, he said right off that she could go back to her job as always. God gets all the glory and honor and praise for my wife's healing and recovery. So amen, brother. Amen. Amen and amen. And if anybody needs a computer, Brother Ken's got one he's getting rid of. You're not going to get a monitor or anything like this. It's just a desktop Dell. It's got a 320 gig hard drive. If you know anybody that's in need of a computer that could benefit from joining us, let me know and I'll let Ken know. Okay, Denise says, question, if a loved one's wedding is on a Wednesday but it's an Roman Catholic wedding, should we still attend? I wouldn't go into I had siblings. I mean, that's up to you. If it's not on Sabbath, again, that's completely up to you. Me, because of my ministry, I wouldn't go in a Catholic church even at gunpoint. It's just because I can't condone it in any way, shape, or form. Like when my dad died and my mom died, they both stated complaining. He says, okay, we all know about your Sabbath, and heck, we're not going to do it on Saturday, even though they did. No, I think it was on a Saturday, and it doesn't matter. But I says, no, I'm not. I can't. I'm not going in a Catholic church. I will not. It just wouldn't. But you can still go to the graveside, though, of course. You can still do the funeral. I just wouldn't step in the church. That's the only thing I wouldn't do. But I never went either because I think it was on Sabbath day. I can't remember exactly how the thing went down, but it was mostly me telling them, says, yeah, well, you know my ministry. If I step in a Catholic church, I look like a hypocrite. Me personally, because of my ministry. I mean, it's just what I do. I expose Rome, and they know it. Yeah, even adult children are sanctified. But not so much unless they're living with you in the house where they have a better opportunity. Our kids, most of our kids don't live at home. And they're not so much sanctified anymore. But they are, whenever they have an opportunity to come around and visit, they see the changes. They see the Lord. They see it. And you can see it too, like when they get scared and they ask for prayer, they always call here. They can try to buck the system all they want, but when it gets scary, the first thing they do is they go to mom and dad because they know they know about how our prayers get answered. It's amazing how our prayers get answered sometimes, and I praise God for that. Oh, a 22-inch monitor will go with it? Well, that's good to hear, Brother Ken. He'll even donate that monitor with it. So if you know somebody that needs a computer to join us online, a believer, it'd be nice, someone that's trying their best. Okay, and I got one more here from Sister Denise. It says, I have to praise God on something. It is my family, even though I wish they walked with the Lord because the majority of them accepted Christ as Savior, but have a problem in submitting to His Lordship. They are understanding and respecting me, my keeping of the Sabbath. If something came up on the Sabbath day, they say, oh, sorry, it is your Sabbath. And so that's nice, too. I like that. Some of my recent associations, like the farmer that owns the land next to us and stuff like that, they know about the Sabbath because they'll ask me questions and stuff like that. Can you do this? Or you might have to stop over and do this. And it's, well, it's the Sabbath. Or the people that work on the house, like when the tornado took out that roof and we had to get our roofs replaced and stuff like that. I says, okay, you guys, you got to know I'm a Sabbath keeper. You're not going to be here on Friday sundown, Saturday sundown. And so they made it a point to start their work on Monday. They wanted to make sure it was done before Friday even came near. So I wanted to praise the Lord for that, too. I think I got, I think that's it for the praises that I have, unless somebody else has got a hand up. I think we're done here. Whoa, wait a second. Joseph's got a hand up here, so let me shut off my mic. See if Okay. I don't know if he wants to try it again. Yeah, I saw that, Denise. Thanks. Robert asks in the text chat, Robert has a question. He says, I help out at the University Catholic Student Center on Thursdays serving meals. I'd do it. You know, going into a university and you know, has a big difference. I mean, the church itself, I'd steer clear of because of its... You know, it's not that I'm fearful, nothing like that. You know, I used to mess with demonic manifestations when I was a teenager, and I was a devout Catholic messing around with that garbage. But any opportunity to share Christ, going into a school setting, that's a big difference, you know. Even though they got a bunch of statues all over the place, too. I mean, I wouldn't go looking for a job like that, but if you're already doing it, I would make the best of it, of course, and share Christ with them as often as you can and even hand out tracts. But in there, handing out the tracts would be, you'd have to be a little bit more stealthy. You'd have to know who you're handing it to or just getting it to them without them realizing it. I used to go into the Catholic churches after I found out, this is before I was a Sabbath keeper, I used to go to the Catholic churches after I found out that they were the house of the Antichrist, and I used to put tracts that I wrote, did the artwork and everything on them, and I would put them in envelopes, sealed, with nothing on the envelope, and, you know, like the Catholics do these novenas, and they're always doing these novenas to where, when you're, like, say, for example, if you do a novena to St. Therese, you got to do it for 9 days, and then your prayer gets answered, she sends you a rose, all this fault or all, and the demons will make sure you'll get the rose. Yeah, it will, you know, the demons will get that rose to you somehow, some way. It's very demonic, it's very evil, but while they're doing it, they write down the novena on a piece of paper and they'll leave it in a pew for someone else to find. And so what I would do is I would put down little pieces of paper like that, but I would have tracts in them. And they would think it's a novena and they'd open it up, read it, and get blessed. Or I used to do this too. I would put the tracts in the sealed envelopes. And a lot of the statues in the Catholic Church have their arms out forward like they're waiting for you to give them a hug. I'd stick a tract in their hand. I literally walk right up on the altar area in the pulpit and just stick the tract there. No one's ever in the church. I just walk anywhere I want in there. I don't care. And if a priest walks in and says, what are you doing? I says, okay, I tell him. What's he going to do, beat me up? So anyway, but yeah, it's an opportunity to share. But now the strange thing is some of the priests are demon-possessed, and I was witness to that in front of Dave Luna before he died. He saw this with his own eyes, too. And I'll close. Wait, let me just finish with these two praises. And Brother Stevens says, I have a brief praise that although my wife is not a believer, at least she supports and tolerates my observance of Sabbath. Amen. And the prayers are still answered for her, too, on a regular basis with the you know, with the healings and in the business trips and stuff like that. And so, amen, brother. That was Brother Stephen, by the way. And then Daniel says, praise God for the forgiveness of sins. Thank you to our Lord, Savior, and Lamb of God who takes away our sins. Thank you, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. Yes, I say thank you a zillion times over. Amen, Daniel. Amen. So, all right, and then I'm going to close with this. I don't think there's any more mics up. Let me just scroll through the names. Okay, there's no more mics. I'm going to finish with this about that possessed priest thing. I mean, I've known they were possessed. Sometimes you could even smell it. But one time I was starting this new business with doing computer programming. Well, not so much the I was morphing. It was programming, but what I was going to do was going to take people's images and morph them. It was when morph technology first came out. And a buddy of mine and him and I got together and we went together. And this is before I realized you're not supposed to yoke unequally. And we had to get some footage so that we could make demo tapes about the morphing. And so we approached a couple that were getting married and told them, look, we're going to do your wedding for free. We got the cameras, we got the equipment, we got the computers, we got all these ideas. We're going to give you your wedding video for free as long as we can use the footage for our demos. And they said, oh, yeah, not a problem. So anyway, we go into this church that I used to go to as a little kid called St. Albert's on 79th and State Road, Burbank, Illinois. Stop by when you get a chance and put some tracks there. Literally, demon-possessed priest. I walk in. Because they're doing their rehearsal. So we were going to set up. I had to figure out where to put the cameras and stuff like that. And we're, you know, just so that when the wedding is set up, we're going to know where to stand and where we can't stand and where she has to be and where he has to, you know, the whole nine yards. You gotta. It's kind of like you're scripting the wedding as per what the priest is saying. So the minute me and Dave walk in, the priest stops what he's doing, and he starts yelling at me. Now, keep in mind, this is a huge church. It's St. Albert's, and it's when you said St. Albert's in the old neighborhood, you go, oh yeah, that monstrosity. It took up like, I don't know, 2 or 3 acres, just the building. And it was only one story. It was cathedral ceilings everywhere. It was this huge, big church with these stained glass windows wrapped around the roof. And we walk in, and so he's up by the pulpit area. I'm walking in from the vestibule, and that's a good 50, 75 feet away. He stops what he's doing with the groom and starts yelling across the room saying, what are you doing here? You don't know the first thing you're doing. You're trying to rip these people off. Did you tell them this is the first video you've ever done? Because we only told the groom. We didn't tell his wife, and we didn't tell any of the family members. We just told the groom because we wanted to be able to do his thing for free. Because I think he approached us, as a matter of fact, and we put these ads everywhere. And then the groom comes stomping up to me and Dave, and he goes, what's the... And he had a couple of his buddies with him and stuff like that. He goes, what's the problem here? How come the priest is yelling at you? I says, well, your priest is possessed. And a couple of the guys in the back started laughing, and Dave goes, no, he's got to be possessed. We didn't tell... Who told him this is our first wedding? And all of a sudden, and boy, their eyebrows shot up and all that other stuff, and they realized it because the groom knew. He didn't say nothing to the priest about us. That priest knew me because of the Holy Spirit. I mean, some of you have seen this too, where people get scared in your presence because of the Holy Spirit that's in you, because the demon that's in them don't like what's in you. So, and I got another praise here. Thanks, Denise, from Sister Barbara. And it says, I was having anxiety last week, and the Lord has given me peace since Communion Sabbath. I felt my heart was revived. I just thank God for his mercy. Amen. Amen and amen. And praise God for that, because everybody else out there starts popping at Prozac, and it's like, whoa, steer clear of that. Every single solitary so far, all these shootings that are happening at these military installations, these guys are all on antidepressants, all of them. So, the demons, when they smell, is it's a mixture of... like what you'll smell in an outhouse, as well as carrion. You know what carrion is? Yeah. Yeah, Fran. I'm not going to... Yeah, but yeah. It's a mixture of human waste and rotted flesh. It's disgusting. And, I remember the first time Fran and I smelled it together. We were going to give a bunch of teenagers a ride somewhere. It was one of our daughter's friends. And we never met her... one of her brothers. And the minute he got in the van, it was like, whoa. And I even turned around and said, okay, which one of you, jokingly I said something about going to the bathroom, right? And they all started, and none of them could smell it. Only my wife and I smelled it. And then we found out later that kid had a problem with, he was into black magic and all this other weird stuff. So the kid was possessed, and he was a really, really, really bad kid. Let's see. Okay. All right. I think that's it. I'm looking here. I don't see any more hands up. But I had to share that priest story, too, because in regards to... Now, okay, you're not going to... Don't be fearful about walking into this stuff like these... I wouldn't walk into a Catholic church anyway. It's not because I'm fearful. It's just because of my ministry. But if you do, just expect you might run into some actual demon-possessed humans. Because the Catholic Church is Satan's trophy. I mean, it's his stomping grounds. It's where he hangs. And so it's like walking into hell, literally. And the majority of the people in there have no idea, none whatsoever, what they're doing. So, okay, anyway, I'm going to shut off the mic. Brother Eli is going to give us one last song, and then we'll have some prayer, and we'll end the testimony service. Amen and amen. If you can kneel, please do so. We'll finish in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for blessing us the way you do. We have so many blessings. It's, you know, some of us actually have to have like a diary, and we thank you for that. Thank you for teaching us how to look back and always remember what you have done. And thank you for John 14:26, where you promise when we read your word, you're going to remind us of what we need to be reminded of. Please bless everyone on our prayer list, Father, especially those we mentioned last night. And please bless everyone that was in attendance today, whether in the chat room or on the phone. And thank you again for hearing this prayer to the best of our ability in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.